Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now we're continuing our beginner's guide to some of the very best musical acts in the world. We take a band or a singer that you think you know and take you through their most famous hits, but also the lesser known gems in their back catalogue. Last time we talked about U2. Next up is one of the biggest country music stars in the world.
Okay, so you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. So you
got the looks, but have you got the touch? Shania Twain and Shea Byrne, A Marriage Made in Heaven.
What an intro.
Are you a fan, first?
I'm a massive fan of Shania Twain.
Yeah. I love the story behind Shania Twain. Music, grand, whatever. Great, very successful.
If you're going to write a country music song about someone's life, the elements are all there, aren't they?
From the get-go, from childhood the whole way through up to the stuff with Mutt Lange. We'll get to all of that. But she is one of the biggest country music crossover stars. Some would say she's done as much for the genre as Dolly Parton.
Absolutely. She was a breakthrough artist, or is a breakthrough artist as well. You have to go back to the 70s and 80s, particularly in Nashville, where it was very stilted. It was male orientated. If it was a woman, it was going to be Dolly Parton light, because Dolly Parton had already made it through. Along comes Shania Twain in the early 90s, and things change a little bit. She brings out, she manages to get a record deal. Through all of that adversity, manages to get it right. When are we told to talk about the adversity? We'll have to get back to that.
We will get back to that.
I'm very excited. But she breaks through and not well received within Nashville, because she's breaking through with pop music.
The purists do not like it.
They did not like it. They love it now. And Garth Brooks, funnily enough, was around the same time, and the same problem, that he was bringing pop, James Taylor, Billy Joel, those influences. She was bringing influences from Bobby Gentry, actually was a country artist, but was a trailblazer in her own time, who had produced and written and did her own songs and faced huge discrimination within Nashville. But she worked through it and managed to get a record deal and released her first album in 1993.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to talk about adversity in a moment, but I just want to play one more clip, because the reason Shania is front of mind at the moment is she's having a bit of a renaissance, and that was partly driven by Harry Styles, who said on stage, mad about Shania, my mother always played Shania, blah, blah, blah. Then they sing together at Coachella. Let's have a listen. Still sounds great, doesn't she?
She still sounds great, and we can talk about that a little bit later.
Listen.
Again. She does sound a little bit different, but yeah. I think Harry Styles and her have a lot in common. Harry is, as well as being a great singer and a songwriter, he also is a fashion icon, and she is a fashion icon. And all through her videos, she had huge creative input into her videos. When she eventually got control, which was in 1995, she got a chance to input into her own videos, and from then on, she appointed a director and say at the end of the video, she'd send the footage to me. I'm going to edit it. And that's what she did. And she made her fashion choices. She brought in designers. She's mad for leopard print.
Everyone now is remembering that video with the boob tube and the cape and the tight pants.
That's right. She was rejecting Brad Pitt. I know you're Brad Pitt. Yeah. Sling your hook out of here. Off you go.
Now, when we talk about adversity.
Yes.
Where do you start? Back right when she was a child, she was singing to make money when she was eight.
First of all, she's from Canada, which people are moved. You think she's from Nashville. That's the first thing.
That's
we're
not
go.
Part of the tragedy.
No, being it's not. But Canada. But being in Canada and into country music is slightly, you know, she's not Nashville or the southern states. First of all, she's from Ontario. She lived with her mom and her stepdad. They had no money. They lived through adversity and through difficult domestic violence as well, was part of her life. Her mother wanted her to be a singer from the year. She picked her out at a young age and said, I can hear you singing along in the car. There's something good about you. The stage mother kicked in. You're going to make a success. I'm going to bring you to bars. After hours, once they stopped serving drink on the license, she was able to bring her in, put her up on the stage and get her to sing. Well, they were all still drinking and carousing, but she brought her. Sometimes she got home, the father wasn't happy, so that led to problems. But through that, she learned her craft and started to work really hard. And she had three younger brothers, and she felt if she could be a success, she could save the family. Mm-hmm. And that is on her. It's still on her. She still feels that when you listen to her talk in interviews. She worked extremely hard. Discovered that she could make some money, met another country singer who was working, a Canadian country singer, an older woman, Mary, who eventually became her manager, gave her a little bit of a steer and looked after her. And eventually she discovered she could make some money, not recording, but actually in live gigs. And she went to a kind of a holiday resort and started singing. Then tragedy strikes again. 22 years old, mum and stepdad are killed in a car crash. And suddenly now she's responsible for three teenagers.
So now the imperative becomes earning money to keep those boys fed. So she sort of pulled back from...
She thought it was over.
Because she was on the edge of something happening with her career when the car accident happened.
Local people wanted to work with her. They were starting to get some national attention from the Canadian Country Music Association, which does exist.
You're so mean about the Canadians.
No, I love everybody's Canadian. Have you not forgotten? Everybody's Canadian. But she went on. But she worked really hard. And then she was discovered and she decided to go to Nashville. And that's when the Nashville story started. And that singer, Mary, became her manager and went to Nashville with her and guided her for the next few years. So much so she got a record deal with Mercury Records and released her first album.
In 1993.
Didn't do very well. And it was interesting when you speak to the producers who produced it. They said there was always some element of it missing. They felt the songs were incomplete, that needed a little bit more. Now, it sold 100,000 copies. Mm. It wasn't a complete disaster. The highest chart place for one of the singles was 55, went in at 55. Then a phone call comes from a producer, Def Leppard, AC/DC, a guy called Mutt Lang, says, I really like your sound. I know country music very well. I'd love to work with you. She starts to secretly talk to him on the phone. The record company say, look, we're going to drop you. What have you got planned? What are you going to do? Something momentous? And she says, I'm working with a rock producer called Mutt Lang. And they go, holy F, really? And she's not sure if they're going to be sad or happy. They turn out to be happy. Mutt Lang then invites her to start working with him. She goes to meet him. 6 months later, they've written the album, they've got engaged and they've got married.
More about Mutt in a moment, but The Woman in Me was the album that they made together, the first album. And this is Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under from that album.
Whose bed have your boots been under? And whose heart did you see?
That's kind of trad country music, isn't it?
That's probably the most country song on that album. And actually, it wasn't the first song she wanted to release. She wanted to release a different song. She was more a rock song, but the record company were nervous. So they released that, and that was a hit. The next song, The Man Is Mine, I think, was a massive hit. Mm-hmm. A massive hit. And then we're like, okay, this is serious. We believe in you now. But Mutt Lang, it's Taupin, Bernie Taupin and Elton John, without each other, they didn't add up to 100, you know?
Yeah, so her with him.
It just worked. It worked really well. And she was able to express herself through him as well. And obviously that close personal relationship must have helped.
And then the next album, the third album, that's Come On Over. That was the huge one, wasn't it?
That's the massive one that we know, Man Feel Like a Woman. That don't impress me much. It's the biggest, I'm going to read this now so I'm going to get it wrong. It's the biggest selling studio album of all time by a female artist. The biggest selling country music album ever. And one of the biggest selling albums in the history. It sold 40 million copies nationwide.
Wow, that's 40
million.
Now, there are lots of songs, as you said there, that you could pick from that album. But let's go with You're Still the One.
Oh.
Looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong. Still, you're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to.
Shay singing away here. Every wedding, Shay?
Every wedding. And it does work as a male song as well. Males have recorded that and it works extremely well. Every wedding. I DJed lots of weddings over the years, particularly in the 90s and 2000s. And that was a song that people wanted for their first dance. And it was an appropriate one. Sometimes songs people pick for their first dance are about death or breakups. Honestly, you'd be
surprised.
That's
when you're saying, are you sure you want that for
you? It's like people want Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah at their funeral in the church. And you're going, well, not maybe the second half.
Yeah.
Not the first half. But that one, and there's a couple of songs from that were really, really popular at weddings. Forever and Always was another one that was hugely, hugely
popular. Oh, we have that. We have that.
Oh, let's listen. I love this. And there ain't no fabulous. Love it. Love it. I just think that one.
Is that from the album, the third album or the fourth album? I'm getting confused now.
Can we move on to the next album?
Are we on to the next album?
We're on to Up now. We're moving along. Up was early 2000s. Again, Mudlang and this really explosive album. Nobody expected to have three diamond albums in a row, but she did it. And this was extraordinary. This was unusual because they released three versions of this, a pop version, a country version, and one for, they call it, I know that they're calling it a European version now, but it's actually based on Indian film music, filmy, from the Bollywood genre as well. And just extraordinary that they decided to do that.
So now, what happened to The Voice after this?
So this is really sad. She was out horse riding. She gets bitten by a tick, develops Lyme disease, goes through the symptoms of Lyme disease, which can be treated. Lyme disease is one of those diseases that is often not picked up. It's picked up as other things, but luckily enough, I'm probably having the best medical care money could buy. It's picked up. But then it affects her voice. She's on stage, she's starting to black out for milliseconds at a time. She gets nervous on stage, she decides not to go on stage. And then her voice becomes weak. And she called it a flanging kind of effect where it was like, that kind of sound started to go.
Dysphonia, is that what it's called?
Dysphonia is the actual diagnosis of what she had. And she's had two operations now to try and strengthen. Essentially, her vocal cords were collapsing. And she wasn't able to project her sounds out.
And just to contextualise this, when she was out horse riding and she was bitten by the tick, she was living in Switzerland with Mutt, wasn't
with
she?
With Mutt, on the
living
lake.
Her best life after the 40 million plus album sales.
Three diamond albums in a row, unheard of.
So having a fabulous life, and then this happens, and her confidence is gone.
Her confidence is gone. Meanwhile, Mutt gets distracted.
Well, now...
I'll let you lead with that.
In what way? With the neighbour. So her best friend.
Her best friend and Mutt decide that
they're going to
hook up together.
Shania is devastated.
So she can't sing. She's not performing. And now she's facing a divorce as well.
Right. And she's having a terrible time. But in order to make herself feel better, she goes off with her friend's husband.
So the woman who went off with her husband, she now meets up with the ex-husband. It's very complicated.
They swapped and now she's still...
You put that very simply, Claire.
Yeah, that's how it happened. But they're still happily married, aren't they?
They're married and they're happy now as well. So things start to pick up a little bit. She's not singing. So she decides she's going to spend her time writing. She doesn't think she'll ever perform again. She doesn't think she's going to have a voice. Two operations later, one to insert Gore-Tex into her vocal cords to try and strengthen them up. She finds a way to sing.
Mm-hmm. Enter Lionel Richie.
Who just left Ireland. He was here at the weekend. And Harry's going to be here on Saturday. It's all happening.
I only know all of this because I watched the recent documentary on Netflix.
Very good.
Which was very good.
Very good.
But he starts pestering her to join him
He's re-recording some of his hits with various artists and he wants to do duets, which is something that artists do in later years. He decides for Endless Love, the last one he's going to record, he wants Shania Twain. Mm-hmm. He rings, their management get in touch, she says no. Eventually he gets to speak to her on the phone, she keeps saying no. He convinces her to do it, tells her to come to California or wherever. They decide to go to the Bahamas, as you do. Like if you and I were doing a program and you didn't want to come to my Studio 6 and I didn't want to come over here, where would we go?
Bahamas.
It's an obvious, Alistair's outside nodding, yeah. Your producer, he's extremely available to go to the Bahamas. They go to the Bahamas. And she finds a way of getting through the song with Lionel Richie's encouragement.
Mm-hmm,
and Lionel said when she was there to say no to him, actually, as he came through the door. Mm-hmm. They have the whole recording set up in a bedroom. Everything's ready to go. And he cajoles her and works with her all the way through the day to get this absolutely... It's a fabulous recording if you get a chance to listen to it.
And I was just interested to hear her singing with Harry Styles earlier, because she does say now that her voice is different. Now, it sounds very good to me, they're singing live at Coachella. Is it different now?
It is different. It has a huskier tone. She can't sing subtly anymore, she would say herself. Those quieter moments are gone. She has to project to get air over the vocal cords to get a stronger sound. And she says it at the start of her concerts as well. I don't sound like I used to, but I'm as happy and as loving and, you know, I'm as enthusiastic as I always was. And I love my fans as much as I ever did.
That's all you want. That's all you want.
But no artist sounds the same. I mean, I was working with artists over the last couple of weeks when I was on holiday, and people are singing a half a tone down, a full octave down their songs. That's fine, because you're there to see them and listen to songs and the memories.
Yeah, listen, if you've sold all those millions of albums, it's grand. We just want to see
it. And her live shows are, I haven't seen one, but I'm looking forward to seeing this one coming to Dublin.
Yeah, coming to Dublin on the 19th and 20th of September. Shania Twain playing in the Three Arena. Shay, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to play out with Shania's latest single. This is Giddy Up from her new album, Queen of Me.
Fast car with the 90s on, not a soul on the road, but the road is home. Smiles for miles, hold up on my face. Wait, yeah, cause we ain't got time to waste.
Get to it.
Up in the giddy up, giddy, giddy up. Up in the giddy up. Drunk in the city, got a lady in the cup. Up in the giddy up. When it gets tough, gotta get a little love. So up in the giddy up, giddy up. Trying to make it happen cause it feels so good.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.